Hey, let's open our Bibles, Luke chapter 5. We're marching our way through the Gospel of Luke, and what a beautiful book it is. Can anybody tell me what Luke's profession was? He was a doctor, yeah. It's important to know because what we're going to look at here today. Happy Mother's Day to those of you who are mothers and that will be mothers later, you know. Mothers are beautiful. They really are. And happy Mother's Day. Luke chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 16 today. I wonder about you. Do you ever feel isolated? Any of you ever feel isolated? Like no one wants to talk to you? Maybe they don't want to be near you? Or maybe you just feel like that. Maybe you're just lonely. Any of you ever get like that? Hurting? Feel like you're an outcast? You know, in today's passage, someone like that, someone like us, reaches out to Jesus. And he finds hope and he finds healing from Jesus. The person that we're going to look at today, he had what the Bible says is leprosy. Some say, well, maybe it was a different kind of skin disease. But leprosy is a very horrible, horrible disease. I put this picture up on the screen. Now, Lou and Mary aren't back from India yet, but these are some families in India, and they are called the Dalits, the D-A-L-I-T-S. Does anybody know what the other name for them is? The Untouchables. That's right. Who said it? Larry. Extra cookie for you. Okay. The Untouchables. And you know what? In India, there's a caste system, right? You have four castes, and they have now included the Untouchables, the Dalits, to be the fifth caste. Before that, they didn't get any recognition at all. But they take up some 20 to 25% of the whole population of this gigantic country. They're untouchables. Nobody wants to be near them. They don't want anything to do with them. They give them the lowest jobs on the totem pole. People with leprosy back in Jesus' time were the same. They didn't want it. Nobody wanted to be near them, be anything. They were stigmatized. They were ostracized. And you know what? That happens to us in our lives today, too. Or we think it does. We feel that way. How many of you have ever felt that way? Like, nobody really cares about me. I'm just an untouchable. At that particular time, it was incurable. Yet, we see in this passage, with God, nothing is impossible. Now, just on the subject of leprosy, Dr. Luke is writing about this, and it's interesting, there is still leprosy in the world today. However, leprosy is very curable. Back then, they were not able to cure, but it's very curable today. But they still have some 200,000 new cases every year. Not many in America, but 200,000. There are some 5 million people in the world today that have leprosy. But let me read to you what it says here. For the five million people who experience leprosy today, these challenges are further intensified by leprosy-related discrimination and stigma. It's curable with multi-drug therapy, preventable with early diagnosis. Disability is preventable, I should say. However, the social stigma and the discrimination that accompanies the disease often prevent people from accessing care. As a result, people who experience leprosy are often challenged with physical disabilities, poor mental and emotional well-being, and exclusion from their communities. That's leprosy. That's a horrible, horrible thing. But you know what? We may not have that in here in our country much, but we certainly have stigma. We certainly have isolation. We certainly have a lot of these things that that people have. We certainly have, you know, those that have and those that have not, the different layers of society. But Jesus makes a difference in this man's life. And I believe Jesus makes a difference in our lives. And I think he can make a difference in your life. Let's look at it. Verse 12, chapter 5. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and he begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, he wasn't a minor case. This guy was a full-blown covered with leprosy. Some translations say it was full. He was full of leprosy. And remember who's writing this but Dr. Luke, so he had, you know, a medical background. But this particular man, he had no hope. He was desperate. But when he saw Jesus, something happened. Something changed. He had hope. He had help. You know, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the one that you and I need. So what happens here to this man? It says that he saw Jesus. When he saw Jesus, what did he do? He fell, what? With his face to the ground. He fell with his face to the ground. In other words, he humbled himself. I looked up the word fell, and it says to descend to a lower place. Now, you know, I'm going to focus on this for a couple of minutes. Why? Because it's throughout the Bible, this idea of humbling oneself. You've heard the phrase, the way up is what?
Down.
Now, that's not the way that the world speaks and the way the world thinks, but in the Christian faith and in the scriptures, the way up is down. You want to get higher, why, you know, lower yourself, humble yourself. Let me ask you this question. Why don't we humble ourselves?
Pride.
Pride. We're very prideful. We're prideful before God even. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous, really. We're going to be proud before God. We're proud before other people, and I kind of get that a little bit. But before God, that doesn't even, it doesn't even make any sense. But I'm going to put a few of the scriptures up on the screen for you, and we'll look at a couple as well. But Isaiah chapter 66, it says this, "Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. This is the one that I esteem." This is the one who God esteems. "He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." That's incredible, right? Isaiah writing these words. This is what God says. This is who he looks on with favor. Those who are humble, contrite in spirit, tremble at his word. How about Ezra? Ezra chapter 8, it says, "There by the Ahava canal I proclaim the fast so that we might," what?
Humble
ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. We might humble ourselves before God and ask him to help us in this life that we're living in. And the time that they were going through there was a difficult time. But notice he says that for us and for our children and our possessions and this life that we live, are living. He says we might humble ourselves before our God. How about the psalmist, verse 9 of chapter 25, it says, "He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way." You could look at the opposite of that is that, you know, those of us that are proud, we're not going to receive much guidance from God because we're not even willing to listen. But as we humble ourselves before him, he's going to show us the way. Are you searching for the way right now in some area of your life? He says, "Humble yourself and I'll show you. Just fall before him." This man with leprosy fell on his face to the ground and he begged him. A scripture that you know, we've heard many, many times, if my people who are called by my name, and this is not working. Did someone touch my screen? You got to click on the screen. Maybe you can forward it for me. That's not it. Oh. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. We talk about that for our country, for America, if we would humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. I want you to turn with me to the end of the New Testament here, to the book of James. We're going to look at a scripture in James, and then we're going to look at a scripture in 1 Peter. James, this is interesting. We think about James, right? He was a leader in the church. But what does he say here in James chapter 4 and verse 6? He says, but he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to what? The humble. And he's quoting from the book of Proverbs. James quoting the Scripture. Verse 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. This is all about humbling ourselves. The way up is down. Verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourselves before the Lord. And then turn ahead just a couple pages to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter says the same thing, quotes the same verse, verses 5 and 6, chapter 5. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. The way up is down. Isn't that what's happening here back in the Gospel of Luke now? This man, he had no hope. He was an untouchable. He was ostracized, isolated, had all these problems. But he saw Jesus and he reaches out to Jesus. But he doesn't just run up to him and tell Jesus what to do, right? He falls on his face before him. How often do you and I literally fall on our faces before God? That's a question, you know. That's a real question. We're going to see at the end of this passage, Jesus went to be by himself with his Father. This isn't something, you know, this isn't, and we kind of see this here in this passage, this isn't something that we want everybody needs to see. You don't do it in front of everybody else to show people how humble you are. It's something you do between you and God, between me and God, in a quiet, private place, to fall before Jesus, to fall on our faces. It says here that he fell on his face before him, and he asked him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I kind of see in this, and I hope you do too as well, that he is submitting, he's humbled himself, but he's submitting himself to the will of who? He wasn't, you know, again, dictating to Jesus what Jesus would do. He was submitting himself. Now, those of us that have read the New Testament, right, and the Gospels, there was somebody in there who said something very similar to that before the Father. Who was it? It was Jesus, right. In Luke chapter 22, we'll get there Someday. He says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. This is Jesus speaking to the Father. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. So again, this idea of humbling ourselves, of falling before him, it's an attitude, Lord, if you are willing, your will be done, not mine. We have to always remember that. Now, we don't always know what Jesus' will is, but he'll make it clear. He'll show you. He'll show me. Verse 13, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. We have to stop right there, because was that even cool? In that day and age, and in this man who was covered, who was full of leprosy, he was an untouchable, but Jesus touched the untouchable. He reached out and physically put his hand upon him. You see, Jesus, he loves the unlovable. Jesus reaches the unreachable. He saves the unsavable. He's the one who makes all the difference in the world for you and for me. We may feel like nobody cares, nobody really understands, nobody wants to know, but Jesus cares and he knows. And he's willing to touch your life physically, honestly. What does he say to him? He says to this man, he says, I am willing. The Mark 6 account, and this thing about the man with leprosy is in three of the Gospels. And in the Mark 6 account, it says that Jesus was filled with compassion when he touched the man. He had this compassion for him. He just cared for him. Okay, so let's look at the picture again. We have this man who is an untouchable and nobody wants anything to do with him. He sees Jesus. He falls down before him. He begs him. And Jesus comes over and he puts his hand on him. He cares with compassion for him. He cares. He cares about you. He cares about me. What does he say? He said, be clean. He cleanses him. And it says immediately the leprosy left him. There was no guessing, you know. It wasn't like he had to walk around saying, you know, I've been healed, when he wasn't really healed. This man was healed, right? And when Jesus touches our lives, you know, we know it. It's not something we have to, you know, pretend. It was done. Look what happens in verse 14, though. It says, then Jesus ordered him, and he has the right to order him. He has the right to order us. He is the Lord. We call him Lord, but we don't really treat him as Lord. But Jesus was the Lord. He is the Lord. He ordered him. He said, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. It's just interesting, you know, you can read about what he's talking about back in the book of Leviticus and what was happening. You know, if this would happen, they would have to go and see, stand before the priest. The priest would have to determine whether he was truly healed or not. Because again, unless they were not allowed to integrate into society and all that. But Jesus tells him, don't tell anyone. In other words, he wants to keep it quiet. Like, how can you keep that quiet? This is radical, right? What had happened to this man. Radical. But I wonder, this is my own opinion about this. I wonder that Jesus said, listen, I don't want you to go about telling everybody. It's not all about some kind of a show. It's not, you know, to make, you know, him famous. Either not to make Jesus a celebrity or even the man a celebrity. I was a leper and now look at me now. And he wants everybody to see and everybody to know. sometimes I think healings are just between us and him. And it needs to stay that way. But there are also sometimes when we need to tell everybody and anybody who will listen what Jesus has done for us. But both are true. Verse 15, it says, yet the news about him, about Jesus, spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. There's all these crowds now. And Mark chapter 1, it says that Jesus went out, he began to talk freely, someone went out, began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but he stayed outside in lonely places. You see, it got so crowded because of the things that he was doing, he couldn't even speak to the crowds anymore. It says, yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This man, he was told, don't tell everybody. David Guzik said this. He said, it's a strange fact that the one that Jesus commanded to tell no one, he told everyone. And we who are commanded to tell everyone often tell no one. You know, we have a testimony. We really, really do. And again, as I said, there are times when we need to keep what Jesus is doing in my life, in my heart, between me and him. But this testimony we have about Jesus changing our lives, we need to let people know about that. How else are they going to know? That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 10. How are they going to know if we don't tell them? I believe we have opportunities, and you know, we have opportunities just to let people know with our family members, with our friends, to let them know that Jesus is alive and well, and that he has done something in your heart and in your life. And don't be ashamed. We shouldn't be ashamed about our faith and our walk with Jesus. Again, you don't know that person that's next to you might be just looking for an answer, looking for help, looking for some kind of healing in their life. And you and I have the answer. We have been, given a message because of what Jesus has done in our lives. Tell everyone you can. How much time do we have left? I don't know. We sang that song from Psalm 90, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom, because we don't know. We have 70 years or 80 if we have the strength, right? I'm 70 now. I don't know, this might be my time. I don't know. So you don't know. So take advantage of those opportunities and pray for that boldness, that holy boldness that Jesus, came to the earth and he wants people to give their lives to him. He wants to change us, to save us, to rescue us. He died on a cross and he rose from the dead, conquering death, conquering sin. And heaven is a place that he's preparing for you and for me. Let's finish with verse 16. It says, again, we have this picture of this crowd right all around him, but verse 16, it says, But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Lonely places and prayed, if I could say that. Says that he often withdrew. How many of you like studying English, the English language? Anybody? There's two. Oh, three, I'm sorry. But I like looking up the verbs in this, and this word about him withdrawing, it means to go aside, and the tense of it is present active participle. Now, who can tell me what that means? Ongoing. Present active participle. Typically, the word would have an ing on the end, right? Present active participle. This word here, it says that he often withdrew, present active participle. He would go to lonely places by himself and he would pray. To solitary places, desolate places, he would pray. Something I was speaking about a few minutes ago about this idea of private prayer. Not in front of the crowds. You know, I can pray here in front of you people. But what about at home? What about in private? You can pray here. You can go to the prayer meeting and pray in front of the people and say, wow, that guy really knows how to pray. Wow, that girl, she's so spiritual or whatever. And yet there's nothing that's happening. We can all do this stuff as a show and act like we're so spiritual in front of other people, but what about when we're by ourselves? You know, if Jesus needed to pray, what about you? What about me? If Jesus would frequently, often withdraw himself from the crowds and he would go to this separate, lonely, solitary, desolate place by himself and pray. If Jesus did that, what about you? What about me? I don't know if, maybe you're all just so, you're so in tune with all this. You have this place where you go. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Maybe you already have this all down, but in chapter 6, verse 6, the paragraph is about prayer. But he says this, but when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I like the King James Version says what? Go into your what? Sorry? Closet, right. Prayer closet. He doesn't spell it out, but he says, go into your closet. I remember there was a movie not too long ago about a woman, right, who had this closet, right, and she, it was a literal closet, but she made it into her prayer space. You know, you and I need to have, maybe it's not a closet. Maybe your closets are full of junk like mine. Where does all that stuff come from? I don't know. But you and I, we need a place where it's just you and him. This is a challenge. If you maybe you already you just got this down and it's just great. You have it. But if not, I challenge you to make this a part of your life. An ongoing present active participle. Jesus often withdrew and he went aside and he went to these places by himself and he prayed. Mark chapter 6 says this, then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, to his disciples, he said, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Now, you read the rest of the story, the crowds all found them anyways. But the point is that Jesus said, come with me. By yourselves to a quiet place. Get some rest. There's something about rest that comes out of this. There's something about, you know, the encouragement that comes by this. Do you have that quiet time? Do you have that place? I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm just trying to encourage you that this is one of the most beautiful things in the life of a believer. One of the most incredible things. Times that you and I can have, but in our day and age, it doesn't happen automatically, does it? Why? Because life is so busy, and because we're so connected to these phones that we have to keep scrolling and looking at all this stuff, and we don't have any time to spend. Well, maybe we need to cut some things out, maybe, so that we have that time. Jesus. What did I do with my clicker now? I lost the clicker. Oh no. Oh, here it is.
You know, we all know where the clickers are so we can watch our TVs, right? There was a family that I know pretty well. They lost their clicker for like a month. They were going berserk because they couldn't click the TV set. I'm not going to mention any names or anything. Why are you turning red? But Jesus cares, and he's willing to touch you and me and reach into our lives, but we need to humble ourselves. And we need to pray, and we need to have that personal relationship, that personal time with him. It's life-changing. There's no question about it. It is life-changing. Let's pray together, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus, who came and showed us what you are like and how much you love us and how much you care and how much you're willing to touch even us. Lord, we humble ourselves before you because you're the great and awesome God, the creator of the universe, the one and only true God. And Lord, we've seen so much that you do for those that humble themselves before you. You guide us. You lift us up. You encourage us. You show us your ways. So much. Father, forgive us for our pride, for our unwillingness. Forgive us for not taking time to humble ourselves and to be with you. Help us, Lord, in all that, Lord. And I pray you'd also give us a voice to share, to let others know that Jesus is the answer, the way, the truth, and the life. Give us boldness, I pray, Lord. Father, I pray too for any that never have surrendered, bowed the knee to Jesus as Savior. Today is a good day. Just bow your knee, your heart, your life before him. Ask him in, and he will come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing together, shall we?